Psalms 34, begin reading with verse 1. This is a precious psalm, and I'm only after one verse, and that's verse 7. But don't read it yet. We'll catch it as we go. We'll read 1 through 9. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be upon my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. What I'm after, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. At Bethany, when we were meeting at that Russian church, after it was over, we had a question and answer session, and Sister Davis asked me a question. Do we have a guardian angel? And I said, I'm not sure. Hey, we do have a guardian angel. Angels in the Bible are not very often spoken about. You find very few books about angels. I've bought two or three, just try to get more instructed regarding angels. There are 273 verses in the Old and New Testament that talk about angels. I've never seen an angel that I know of. I may have, but I don't know it. He said, be sure to entertain strangers, for you may entertain an angel unaware. And that's possible. Hebrews chapter 12 or 13, first verse. There are angels. Billy Graham wrote a book on angels. And in his book, he made a statement. He said, I do not believe in angels because I met one. I do not believe in angels because of all the hair-raising stories I've heard about the intercession of angels with individuals. I do not believe in angels because of personal experience. He said, I believe in angels because the Bible is filled with angels in both the Old and New Testament. And he is exactly right. Before we get into the guardian angels, and that's why I stopped that last verse of the song, I still probably won't have time to do all I want to do, but the angel of the Lord is a title that's given to Christ. You'll find the angel of the Lord, he actually did what angels would do himself. And I'll give you four references, and then when we give those references, we'll go to some contemporary thought and then go to the scriptures about guardian angels. You remember Hagar? Hagar was the Egyptian handmaid that Sarah got when she was in Egypt, And she got several other things in Egypt she didn't need, including Hagar. And you remember, she convinced Abraham, since she had no heir, she had no child, said, go into Hagar and let's get a boy through Hagar. And she got expectant, and Ishmael was born. And if you remember, she got so tired of Hagar and Ishmael, she drove them off, and they were traveling, and Ishmael was about to die. And an angel of the Lord came to her, and the angel said, there's a pool of water right beside you. It's all right. He'll not die of thirst. As a matter of fact, I'll make him a great nation. But he said, he'll be at war with everybody all his life. And by the way, that's where Iran and Iraq, all those people came from, Hagar's child. And they've been in trouble ever since, fighting all the time. But here's the point. She called the angel of the Lord that came to her, my God. That angel of the Lord was Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate form of Christ. Pre-incarnate means before Christ was born, he came like an angel, and he was called the angel of the Lord. Moses was in a desert, escaped from Egypt. He was actually run out of Egypt, for that matter. And there was a bush that was burning. And it says the angel of the Lord spoke to him. And then he says, who are you? He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That angel of the Lord was Christ. Now, let me stop here for a moment. You see, God the Father is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm of the opinion that we'll never see God the Father. The Holy Spirit, part of that triune Godhead, is a spirit. And we will never see the Holy Spirit. But the Son was manifest in the Old Testament and then manifest in the New Testament. And on this occasion, his name was the Angel of the Lord. Manoah, the father of Samson. His wife was out running errands, and the Angel of the Lord visited her and told her she was going to have a boy, and that boy would be a Nazarite from his birth and never touch alcoholic beverages or anything that came from the grape. And she immediately went and told Manoah, said, man, this strange fella came to me, said he was the angel of the Lord. He said, if he comes back, holler at me. I would like to meet him. And he came back. And Manoah then spoke with him and wanted to make a sacrifice. And the angel of the Lord told him he was God. He said, we've seen God and we're going to die. No, they didn't die. And the prophecies regarding Samson were given that he would begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. But the point, the angel of the Lord was God. One more. Now, I was going to turn to these and read them, but I'm afraid it's going to take all my time, so I'm just having to tell you the story. But in Judges also, there was a fellow named Gideon. And Gideon had found a place of hiding, and that's where he stored the grain for his family. And he was in there separating the chaff from the wheat. And while he's in there, an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, thou mighty man of valor. Now, here's the thing. Gideon's hiding from the Amalekites. He's hiding because he's fearful they're going to find him. And he says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, "I believe you got the wrong fellow. I'm the least of my family, and my family's the least of our whole tribe. And you must be talking to somebody else." And he says, "No." And then he realized he was talking to God. And God told him the things that he wanted him to do. Well, that angel of the Lord was Jesus Christ. Now, in the New Testament, we cease that title because Christ is there. And there he is, the Son of God. Now, I believe angels are right now present with us. In the study of this subject, I'll have to admit, I got quite encouraged. Now, all the angels of God are not good angels. One third of the host was subverted and taken by Satan. And those angels are demons. I don't have time to deal with demons today. But the point is, they were taken out and they are real. Now, let's face it. I've felt the encouragement of godly influence and been delivered hundreds of times, whether by an angel I know not. For instance, we were trying to adopt John, Mark, and Lydia. And while we were there trying to adopt them, we parked our car in a particular location there on the street at Davao. We went in, and this is the third time we've been put off. And when we went in this time, the man said, "I'm sorry, the judge has had heart difficulty. They rushed him to the hospital. There's no need for you to wait today. Forget it." And we got up and left. 30 minutes from the time we left, a bomb was placed right beside where our car was parked. And it blew that whole area up. Now, you say, "Well, you think an angel did that?" I don't know. But let me give you a few things that were testimonies given of angels. John Patton, a good, solid Calvinist believer in grace, who was born in 1828 in Scotland, and he wanted to go to the South Pacific to be a witness in the island called the New Hebrides. And what he did was, two missionaries preceded him there. They were killed the afternoon they arrived and eaten by the inhabitants. It's not quite a hospitable place to go. But he went. And he immediately settled down, built himself a lean-to shack for he and his wife to live. And while they were there, in the first year, a group of the angry cannibals encircled their house and had sought to kill them. And they realized there's nothing they could do to protect themselves, just he and his wife, not other white person on the entire island. So they just knelt down and prayed, and they left. Later, the chief of that tribe was converted, who was there that night. And he came and said, "Tell me, why didn't you rush in? There was nothing but my wife and I." Said, "Oh yes, there was. There were hundreds of white-clad warriors with swords that were all around your house. And for fear, we left." Now, John Patton said it was an angelic host. You want another one? I thought you did. I'll give you another one. Eddie Rickenbacker, Eddie Rickenbacker was the man who started Eastern Airlines. My father knew him. That's why we always flew Eastern Airlines when I was young. But Eddie Rickenbacker was shot down on a plane in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and they ended up in a raft for days and days, and they thought surely they would die. And he was just sitting in his raft, and a seagull, hundreds of miles from any land, lit on his head. And he very calmly reached up, grabbed that seagull by the legs, took his nose, twisted it, and killed it. And they ate feathers and all. I mean, they ate everything. Said it's the best meal they'd had in years. They survived. He told this to Billy Graham. He said, well, what do you attribute that to? God sent an angel, and he aided us. One more. And I'm telling you these because I think we ought to be contemporary, meet the needs that are presently here. During World War I, there was an experience they call the White Calvary. In a particular battle, the English had lost, and the Germans, they were so successful, they were actually singing. They said, we will take Paris today. And as they went, they looked upon the horizon, and a whole band of soldiers in white, riding white stallions, were coming toward them. And they said, well, who are these? And they thought, well, maybe the English had gotten somebody from India or some other location to in turn fight this battle. And so they had a barrage of weapons that they began to shoot mortars and cannons at them. And then they had a machine guns and they tried to cut them all down. And not one soldier fell. And as they got closer, the Germans turned and ran. There are thousands of Germans that witnessed that. And they had no answer to it. The English said, that was God's invisible army that came. Don't you love it? Now, what are angels? First, they're spiritual, not physical. They don't have a body of flesh such as we have. They are messengers. That's what the word actually means, messengers. And they're all over the New Testament and the Old Testament. First of all, they're created beings. And they were probably the first of creation. And the reason why I say that in Job 38, he's telling, or he's asking Job, where were you when I created the world? When the sons of God sung for joy. And almost everyone agrees the sons of God, there's a title for angels. Probably the first of creation were these angels, and God is, matter of fact, he's created all things. Colossians 1:18, by him, Christ, were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. He's created all things. Principalities and powers is another name and title that's given to the angelic host. And they are angels. In Revelation 12 and 4, one half the angels fell with one third of the angels fell and became demons. Now, what is the purpose of the angelic host? The first purpose of the angelic host is worship. There's some, the angels have ranks. There's different forms of angels. And they are completely obedient to God. Those godly angels are. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, if you are real familiar with the book of Isaiah, the first five verses are really not very encouraging. It talks about the distress that Israel was in. But in chapter 6, it takes a glorious turn. In the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah was a good king. He was one of the godly kings. And therefore, that's discouraging. Their eyes were on Uzziah and his blessing and benefit to a revival that was happening. I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Now the seraphims was a rank of angels. They had six wings. Each one had six wings. With twain they covered their face. With twain they covered their feet. And with twain they did fly. These three sets of wings, two of them were worshiping. They would not look upon God. They covered their feet, for in the presence of God, they felt almost ashamed. And one of them cried and said, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Those seraphims are worshiping. Now, it tells us in the New Testament that one of their purposes was to worship. And I'm confident that is so. Now, I want to give you a couple of verses that speak of angels being in Psalms 91. That same that God actually does have those that guardians to us. Psalms 91. Now, Psalm 91 has been one of my favorite psalms through the years, and we used it on the first trip to the Philippines. "He that dwelleth in the secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then it tells the benefits of being under God's shadow. But I want to read the rest of this, and what I'm after is verse 11, 12, and 13. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the sorrow by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday." All these are benefits and blessings to a child of God. "A thousand shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thine habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwellings. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." What he's saying is, the angels are looking after you. They're guarding over you. They will watch you in every way that you go. "They shall hear thee in their hands, lest they shall dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Now, there it actually says that God has a guardian angel over you. Now, you may say, well, how many angels are there? It says 1,000 times 10,000 and great multitudes that cannot be be numbered. It describes them as the stars of the sky. Now, you know, I love Texas. And I remember laying on a trampoline at the home of Brother Piles. And I had about five kids all around me. And we were sitting watching this. There's more stars in Texas than there is in Georgia. And the reason why, there's no clouds and there's no trees. And therefore, you see this multitude of stars. And we get these, you know, we're continuing to develop telescopes that get larger and larger and see more and more. And all we see is more. And there's no end. It's an eternity out there of stars. And therefore, God made lots of angels. And it doesn't really matter how many people this earth is blessed to have. There's enough angels for everybody to have a guardian angel. They are a multitude. Matthew 18. I'll give you another one that teaches this same principle. Matthew 18. And this talks about children. In Matthew 18, verses 3 through 5, it talks, he brought a little child up to them, and he said, you need to be converted like a little child. You need to be humble like a little child. And then verse 5, whosoever shall receive such a little one in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Little Stephanie was 6 years old. We were on Moreland Avenue over in downtown Atlanta when the church had moved out to Tucker. And little Stephanie walked down that aisle to join the church. And though she's about 6 feet tall now, she's not really that tall, but she looks it. And I picked her up because she was just a little thing. And she gave a sweet testimony of her love for the cause of Christ and the Lord himself. And Brother Wiggins said, "Brethren," he spoke a bit loud. He said, "If anyone hinders this little one, it's better a millstone be hanged about your neck and you cast into the sea." I make a motion we receive her into the church. And we received her. But the point was well taken that God has a care and a concern over little ones. Now, turn to verse 10. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." What's he saying? He's saying God's got an angelic host that looks after these children. Now, that could be children of God, or it could be the little ones like the one that walked before him. But the point is, God has angels that look after us and guard us and care for us. Now, time won't give me the time to give the scriptural examples of how the angels look after us. There were a bunch of jealous people in Persia because there was a man named Daniel that was so godly, the only thing they could get against him was he served the God of Israel. And finally they made up a law and made the king to sign it that if anybody worships anybody besides the king, that he'd be thrown in a den of lions. Well, the king loved Daniel. He was actually the prime minister of the whole nation, one of the greatest empires of the ancient world. But when the king signed it, you could not change a law the king had signed. Even the king couldn't change it. So they took Daniel and they threw him into a den of lions. And the king didn't sleep all night long worrying about his prime minister, Daniel. And when morning broke, he comes running down. The king himself, he comes running down and he says, "Daniel, the worshiper of the God of Israel, did the Lord spare you? And old Daniel, he said, oh, King, live forever. I'm glad to see you. I appreciate you coming to see if I'm all right. And he says, God sent an angel that stopped the mouths of the lions. And all those wicked men that put him in there, they were thrown in there. Oh, they do something. Well, Betty Jo's grandmother, she had a cat. And she liked her cat because it killed mice and it killed snakes. Florida's sneaky. And at any rate, she wouldn't feed it so it would kill the varmints. They don't feed lions that they're going to throw men to, so they will be extremely hungry and there's no chance of survival. But the angel of the Lord stopped them. Let me give you at least one more. I know you just wait with bated breath to hear it. One of the books I love of all the books of the Old Testament is the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah, if you read through it, there's some central chapters, 36 and 37, 35, 36 and 37, that all that came before builds up for this experience. The Assyrians under Hezekiah had come to the northern tribe of Israel and had literally destroyed them, killed them, cut them alive. The Assyrians were the cruelest empire of all the ancient world. They rejoiced and bragged about the torment that they caused every nation they conquered. They enjoyed torturing people. Well, they destroyed the northern nation of Israel. And then they came into, and I'd love to read this to you. It's so pretty, the ending of it. But they came in and they captured all the unwalled cities, the defense cities of Judah, where Jerusalem was located. But Jerusalem, they were all bound up in the city and the walls were. And the Assyrians came with a vast army. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. And he sent, I can't pronounce the name. I could read it and pronounce it, but at any rate, his prime minister, his general, he comes up and he tells them, he said, fellas, I'm going to speak to you in Hebrew. And there were hundreds standing on the wall listening. And the representative Hezekiah said, no, we know your language. We know the Assyrian language. Speaking that, and he said, no, sir. I want your people to hear. And he told all the nations they had destroyed and their gods had promised to deliver them and said their gods did not help them. We easily conquered them and we're going to do the same to you. And think not that the God in Israel will sustain you. We're the mightiest nation in the world. And he told them what he was going to do to them. And the words I'd hate to read in open country. I mean, it was horrible. They gave the letter to Hezekiah. Hezekiah opened it up. He went to the temple and opened it up and he read it before God. And he pleaded with God to deliver them. And God said, they will not destroy Jerusalem. I'll send them back home. And Sennacherib will be killed by his own kin when he gets back home. Then it tells you that a single angel of the Lord killed 85,000 soldiers in one night. And the king packed up his chariot and he went home. And when he got there, he went to his place of worship. And his two boys killed him. Now the point I want to make is this. One angel, the mightiest army of the ancient world, who had 85,000 soldiers strong, one angel delivered them. We have a mighty God. And he has an invisible army. And he aids us. If you feel weak, one more. Elisha, when the servant boy came in and said, there's soldiers all around us. They've got chariots and spears and swords. What are we going to do? And he said, young man, there be more with us than there is with them. If the Lord's with us, fear not. There's more with us than there is with them. If you're discouraged, if you think things aren't going like you'd like, the Lord can solve our troubles if we fear Him and have our eyes upon Him. May God bless us as a church to have that kind of fear and trust in God Almighty and His angels will deliver us, enlighten us, reveal truth to us, and a host of other things as well.